fan I'm holding was a present from Jisho. And all it is some bamboo, some rice paper, a little metal pin as a pivot down here, and then there's something painted on the, assuming on the, this, a very typical Japanese folding fan. But in the hands of Zen teachers since way, way, way back there, this has been a tool for teaching the Dharma in all kinds of wonderful, creative ways. So I call my talk today, This Very Fan. This very is pointing directly at reality. So it's this very fan. There's such a rich history of the use of this fan that I didn't know where to begin or how to end. Maybe we'll just go on for a week with it. This fan is so new that it's very difficult to get open. You see, this one has a painting of a Enzo. The circle's called Enzo. Again, a very profound meaning behind that in Zen. It's basically it's emptiness, but not because there's no thing. It's because everything is there in that circle and comes out of that no thingness. I thought of various things. I actually, a few months ago, I gave a talk about a fan here. You won't remember already. It's about the fan that the teacher threw up in the air, and it hit the king of the gods on the nose, and it began raining. In his answer to, where is the path? Where is the way? That's a wonderful one. We'll talk about a couple of koans, but I thought I'd start this with something that Katagiri Roshi wrote, or actually first said in a talk, as recorded in the book, this book called You Have to Say Something, the second book. What he's basically saying is that in order to practice Zen, you can't practice it just, I'm practicing Zen. Zen is always practiced with the entire universe, with all people, with all beings, right there on the seat where you're sitting. So what he wrote, let me read it to you. Zen in everyday life and everyday life in Zen are not two different things. This is a point of great confusion with students. One of the most common questions a teacher gets is, well, how do I get my Zen to go into my daily life? What are you talking about? Your practice is everyday life. You think there's different lives, you're leading two different lives. You're crazy. So Zen in everyday life and everyday life in Zen are not two different things. They are one, just like the Japanese folding fan. He says, this kind of fan consists of two parts. A lower part that pivots, this one down here. And this really, he's saying, you could say symbolizes the original teachings of Zen. This is the pivot on which everything pivots. These are the original basic teachings of the Buddha, which are primarily that to practice our seated meditation and to do this without attachment. So that's the pivot. And then this part here is everyday life. And this is a wonderful image for it because, you know, when it opens up into all these different prisms and facets, like everything is a different aspect of life. If you thought of this fan just as a pivot, then our practice would be dead. It would be meaningless. So he says, the pivot must be able to unfold into a fan. In other words, the pivot must be open to daily life, not just your daily life, but the daily life of others as well. In this way, the fan is a whole. That is your practice. And it works very well. There's no problem. A fan is the simplest thing. I mean, it's sort of miraculous. Somebody thought of it. Those are always incredible moments. And somebody really discovers simplicity. But there it is. It's as simple as that. It will help you and others to become one with the earth, with nature, with all things. The Zen teaching must unfold just like the fan. When Zen is unfolded, immediately there appear many dimensions to life. All these dimensions of life. Zen teaching must be alive in every one of them. That's Zen in everyday life, and everyday life in Zen. And I think it's, put it in other words, what he's pointing out with this fan analogy is something very crucial to our practice. Without it, we are sitting in just narcissistically. It's just narcissistic practice. It says, I want something for myself. But when we sit like the fan, that's our sitting right in the midst of life in all of its myriad forms coming up right here where we're sitting. That was an image of Katagiri's too. The spring coming out of the ground, just life just happening in this incredible energy and abundance right here. That's where we sit. We sit right in the midst of life as it's happening moment by moment. And before our very eyes, before our very ears. So all we've got to do is practice, not I see, but just practice seeing, awareness, just practice hearing the world, seeing the world. So one of Zen's deepest teachings, and I carry this teaching a little further, is the insistence that all things, everything, every phenomenon is teaching the Dharma. It's one of the most profound teachings in Zen. It caused an enormous stir in the Zen world back in the Tang Dynasty when a teacher began teaching this. Because what do you mean? Everything is teaching the Dharma. But it is. And that's you will experience in your practice. That everything, the flower, the pain, everything is teaching if you are open to that teaching. If you have managed to sneak, do an end run around your own selfish agenda and being caught up just in what concerns me, 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 that blocks that from happening. So we must learn how to be just seeing, just hearing, just the open fan. That functions. Okay, well, I'm going to talk about a couple of koans, one of them a not very well-known koan, and another very famous one, and my favorite ones in some ways. But this first one the fan again takes center stage, but let's say this time it's a closed fan win. And it's laying out here on the floor. And this is an ancient picture of Zen that we're painting right now. The Zen master is sitting on his mat on the floor, and around him are two of his students also sitting on the floor. This is his teaching. And laying out on this, and Zen masters commonly carry fans. They function as your yoi when in warm weather, when you need something to fan. This is your teaching stick. And you'll see them often in formal portraits of Zen teachers. They're usually holding the fan. And he's got his fan laying out there in front of him. And he points to the fan and he says to the first student, "What is it? What is it?" And the student, who's a good student, picks up the fan, cleans it up, and begins fanning. Then he lays it down, and the teacher says to the second student, "What is it?" And the second student picks up the fan, opens it up, and usually in those days they would have tea and little cakes for these things. He reached down, picked up one of the little cakes, put it on it, and offered it to the Zen master. That's the koan. Again, very simple like they all are. Well, that first student gave a really good answer to that question. You notice the word fan is never used. If that first student said, "Well, it's a fan, can't you see? It's a fan," the Zen teacher probably would have picked it up and whacked him in the head. Hey, no, everybody knows that. That's not what we're talking about, right? but he didn't say that. He picked it up and he pointed to the most important aspect of a fan, which is its function. So a very good answer, actually, although very simple. But kind of simple-minded, because that's a pretty easy answer to come up with. After all, I mean, this thing was made for that reason. You have to know that. But the second student really did something amazing. He went, what is the current phrase, which I kind of hate, outside the box, it's been so abused. But this guy really just had open eyes. He saw, oh, the teacher was out of cake. So picked it up, put the piece of cake on it, and offer it. That is, in some ways, a very good student. He's begun to understand that this is hard to put. Let me try to put it as clearly as possible. I'll back up a little bit. You need to know this, that we're talking about object here. Now, an object or a phenomenon of any kind is, by definition in Buddhism, empty. What does that mean? It means it has no self. It has no permanent nature. Second, it's impermanent. It's here and it's gone. And something new arises. Actually, it's here and it's gone every moment. It's changing constantly. It's falling apart even as I hold it. We don't see it, maybe, but it is. And third, it has no essential nature, because it's just something made up of other things. You see what I'm saying? This is its inner being. It's just some paper, some bamboo, some ink, a little piece of metal. Where's the fan? There is no fan there. Oh, there is, but where is it? Is it the paper? Is it this? No, it's just a temporary combination of different elements. We're the same. We're just the same. We're just temporary coming together of different causes and conditions. And we too are breaking every moment. Are falling apart. So the second student leaped out into this emptiness in which this can be anything. This is, by the way, a major koan for artists. This is what creativity is all about. It's that you look out there and you don't see what your mind has just conditioned you to see. You train yourself to see beyond that. So that second student, as I say, was a very good student. He looked at that, and he wasn't limited to seeing it as a fan or as just something that was designed to do this. He saw its potential. Oh, I can use this for anything. I can use it for a table. I can use it for a tray. So this is a very important teaching. We must go beyond our own limited, very partial point of view on everything. A lot of your Zen training, which goes on your entire life, is seeing the limited point of view you bring to your life and dropping it. And for a moment, being aware of the huge possibility of your life. I had an interesting image came into my mind. You know, this is a season when everybody just looks at sports on TV all the time. I'm surprised people even come out for Zen. I don't watch TV myself, but every time I walk into anybody's house or my daughter's, there's a game going on, and there's the goal post down there. So I suddenly had this vision. I thought, well, here are the two goal posts, and one of them, it says fan. And on the other goal post, it says not fan. Well, life is going on in between there. Isn't that true? Isn't that what's important? But we get caught on this dualistic thinking of fan. Not fan. But there's an entire spectrum of life right there. That's where we want to be. This is one of the things that's meant by the middle way when it's used to describe Buddha's teaching. Okay. I love that little koan. It's so simple. The following koan is I think a marvel, because it's so simple that before you can even think about it, it's sort of blasted something inside your head. I don't know how to describe it. At least it did that to me. It's koan number 91 from the Blue Cliff Record, which means it's a very famous koan. In there is called the rhinoceros. Here is the koan. One day Zen Master Yen Guan called to his attendant, "Bring me my rhinoceros horn fan." Rhinoceros horn is a precious thing in China, and so somebody had given the temple probably this gorgeous fan where instead of paper it was silk, and all the covering on it was rhinoceros horn. Very precious thing. So the Zen teacher says to his attendant, "Bring me my rhinoceros horn fan." And the attendant says, "The fan's broken." And Yan Guan said, "If the fan is broken, bring me the rhinoceros." And the attendant had no reply. Well, this is, I'll give you the rest of the koan before we start talking about it. This koan is unusual in that it has a little Greek chorus that goes along with it of four old Zen teachers who, when they heard about this story, had to get their two bits in on it too. And each one of them pretends like he's the student and this is what he would have done or said. So the first one is Tozu. And he said, "I don't refuse to bring it out, but I fear that the horn on its head will be imperfect." And another Zen teacher much later on, Shui Do, he gives his little comment then to each of these guys, and Shui Do said, "I want an imperfect rhino." The second teacher, Xu Shuang, said, "If I return it to the master, then I won't have it." Shui Do commented, "The rhino is still there." Zhu Fu drew a circle and wrote the word rhino inside it. It's like the Enzo. It was the character for rhino right in the middle of it. And Shui Do said, "Why didn't you bring it out before?" And then the last teacher, Lao Fu, said, "The master is aged. He should ask someone else." And Shui Do said, "What a pity to have worked hard without accomplishing anything." So then Shui Do, who made these little comments at the end, he and all of the koans in the Blue Cliff wrote a poem. And so often these poems are marvelous. But this one is very simple. He just says, "The rhinoceros horn fan has long been in use. But when asked, actually nobody knows it. The boundless pure breeze and the horn on the head, just like the clouds and rain, when gone, they are difficult to pursue." Well, we could talk all day about this koan and the little poem that I just read, but what I'm going to do is just go through it quickly with some comments, because it's very bad taste to talk too much about it. The koan, by the way, that takes it out, the fun out of it for all of you, and getting to confront that and see creatively what you bring out of it. So you need to know one thing here, though, that the rhinoceros in Zen is sort of a symbol for emptiness, for nothingness. And so in that case, we could say that then the rhinoceros horn fan would be a symbol of phenomenal world. Instead of the absolute, which would be the rhinoceros, then the fan would be a symbol, perhaps, I hate that word, but when you babble words, you have to do things that are not too good. But so we've got both the absolute and the relative right there. So that may help you to understand what these guys are up to. So, like I pointed out before, anything that's empty has three basic characteristics. It has no permanent self nature. It's impermanent, and it's made up of other things. So, when the teacher asked for the rhinoceros fan, that student was not dumb. He understood something. He understood that all phenomena are, in a way, broken. They're not complete. They're not something that stays together forever. So he just said simply, and whether it was true or not doesn't matter. Maybe the horn was broken. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe the horn was even being used at that moment by the teacher. We don't know the horn fan. He said, the fan is broken. Now, what he probably then expected to hear from the teacher would be then, well, then bring me the broken fan. But no, the teacher said, well, then bring me the rhinoceros. And just, he didn't know what to say, so he wasn't that far into this ship. He hadn't gotten that crazy yet. that left, like I say, the student speechless. And it's a good thing it did, because if he had said something like, well, I said it's broken, we can't use it, the teacher would have probably, you idiot, whacked him a good one, which they did in those days. But bring me the rhinoceros. What would you do if you were that student? Bring me the rhinoceros. Well, I would have put my hand on my forehead like this and my finger like that, and I would have said, get out of the way, it's a charging rhino, and I'd have run for the door. Noisy. Noisy, pathetic. But that's one possible answer. Yeah, not accidentally knocking over the cup of tea. So then, what about these old geezers who got their two bits in zoo? Well, the first one, which I like quite a bit, said, I do not refuse to bring it out, but I fear the head's horn will be imperfect. Well, he's being ironic. Of course it's imperfect. It's imperfect. It's broken from the very beginning to the very end. Besides, that horn on the rhino says it'd be very imperfect because somebody made a goddamn fan out of it. I shouldn't really. That's where I went. but I have so much fun with these. Jisho asked me what I was going to talk about. I said, I'm going to have fun today. So I am. Now, the second teacher pretended to whine and complain that if he returned the fan, then he wouldn't have a fan. What? So Shui Do says, there's the rhino. The rhino, that's always there. That's it. Nobody can give away or take away the rhino. There it is. So it's there, right in front of the Zen teacher. The third teacher drew a circle in the air and put the sign, the character for rhino right in the middle of it. And that's the perfect answer. Rare, right in the midst of emptiness, is the rhino. coming out. There it is. There's the rhino. Fourth teacher's comment, along with Trey Doe's added little comment, makes his own little teaching drama. Because the poor old teacher just can't bring it out, get it up anymore. And this to do about absolutely accomplishing something, accomplishing nothing, is exactly what was asked for. He said, bring me nothing. Show me nothingness. Show me emptiness. It accomplished nothing. There it is. That one's very recherché. Kind of, that was a little hard to see. But there it is. There's the koan. Now, being a loudmouth, I couldn't leave it alone. So instead of talking about the poem that Trey Doe wrote, I wrote one for it instead. And this is it. What a pity the precious fan is broken. But due to circumstances beyond our control, this tragedy has turned out to be a comedy. Look, a pile of rhinoceros dung right where you sit. Anybody want to ask any comments or make any comments? Say anything about it? Or did that last one just sort of shut everybody up? Yeah. Were you going to say something? So, come on. No comments, huh?
Well, all I can say is scat.
Yeah. Don't think of rhinoceros. I mean, if they're in
Japan. I guess it was, you know, it came from China. This was Chinese. And I think in China they did, in the western part of China, have rhinos. And I think there may still be some, or at least there were. And they probably saw them in zoos, you know, the imperial palace, they kept animals and things like that. So somehow I think that the reason it was chosen is because it has one horn. Whereas all the other ungulates had two horns, but the rhino had one. So that suggested to them the absolute oneness of everything, the emptiness of everything. And there's a lot, you know, a very common thing for a Zen master to paint on his fan is a rhinoceros looking up at the moon. Is, of course, the enlightenment.
That's lunacy.
That's right. Okay. Well, thank you. There are a couple of comments or of announcements you wanted to make, I think.